Had the opening prayer too, so I guess we better pray. So let's go ahead and ask God's blessing. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you that we could come once again to worship you together as a church family in your name, to worship you, to sing praises to your name, and certainly you are holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And we stand in awe of that, and we worship you tonight. And we just pray your blessings upon the rest of this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Just start off by way of announcement. It's been in your bulletin the last couple of weeks, but we are attempting to do an Easter cantata this year. And you say, well, Pastor, we just got past Christmas, and you're already talking about Easter. You're worse than Walmart putting out all... But, you know, Easter is not that far away, and actually, we are going to do the Easter musical or cantata, Mighty to Save. So those of you who are musically inclined, I would encourage you to put the word out. If you know of somebody that's musically inclined, we could use them. And our first practice will be January the 29th, Sunday night, right after the church service is over. And we'll continue that way, and we are planning on doing this Palm Sunday morning. And so, but it's easy to learn. It's not hard. Craig Adams writes a lot of easy musicals for small church choirs and small churches, so it shouldn't take too long. We'll have 10 weeks to learn it, and so I know that we can do it. So anyway, but that's by way of announcement. So if you're interested, see me, and we'll talk about it. If you have your Bibles, open them up to Mark chapter 1. We'll be looking at verses 35 through 45 tonight. Title of the message tonight is The Kingdom of God Marches On. You know, we live in a day and age, we just elected a new president, and... You know, we got world crisis going on here and there, and we put all of our hopes into our new president that he can turn things around here in the United States. And, you know, we have terrorism and everything else going on in the world. But besides all of that, we need to realize that God's kingdom is still marching on. Doesn't make any difference what's happening in the world. Doesn't make any difference what's going on around us. God's kingdom is still marching on. And it'll continue to do so till he comes back and takes us home to be with him. Then we can find peace and rest at last when we're with him. But we also, part of God's kingdom, we should be marching on too. We should not be giving up. We should not be sitting idle. But we should be marching on too. An interesting passage here in Mark chapter 1, starting at verse 35, and we'll read down to the end of the chapter, then we break it down. But I notice that I want you to notice in this passage, though, that it's going to take three things that advances God's kingdom, and we're going to look at those three things tonight, and how, if we do our part, we can help advance God's kingdom here in Huntington. Well, let's read this, starting in verse 35. It said, "And rising early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed." It's talking about Jesus. "And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, 'Everyone is looking for you.' And he said to them, 'Let us go on to the next town that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out.' And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, 'If you will, you can make me clean.' Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I will, be clean.' And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, 'See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them. But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. Interesting passage that we have here. And what happens before this passage, Jesus had just spent a busy day preaching, teaching, healing people. I mean, people were just, you know, all around Jesus, and he was touching them. He was healing them. The last person that Jesus healed right before this was Peter's mother-in-law. Peter's mother-in-law had a fever, and Peter asked Jesus to come touch her and heal her, and Jesus did. But if you read the verses previously before that, from 29 down to 35, I mean, people were just, you know, flocking to Jesus, wanting his healing, wanted to hear him, wanted to see him. And Jesus had a busy day that day. And so Jesus says, early in the morning, probably before the sun came up, Jesus snuck away from Peter's house and went alone to pray. And that's the first thing I want you to notice here. In order for God's kingdom to advance, it takes prayer. More than anything, it takes prayer. You heard Dan and Brittany last Sunday night talking about their work in the Philippines. And remember what Dan said. He says, you know, monetary support is okay, it's nice. But he said, more than anything, we need prayer.
Amen.
You know, prayer is the most powerful weapon that you have in your arsenal as a Christian. And Jesus knew that. And Jesus went away to a private place, to a place that was away from everybody, away from anything, all the distractions. Jesus went off by himself to pray. And you think, if Jesus had to do that, the Son of God, how much more do we need that? How much more do we need to get off by ourselves and to pray? He went off to a place of solitude, a place of privacy. That's where, you know, that's why Jesus said, when you pray, go in your closet, shut the door. You know what Jesus said? Get away from all the distractions. And just one-on-one with God. That's why sometimes I'll take a day off and I'll just grab my backpack, my Bible, and my hiking staff, and off in the woods I go. I let Beth know about where I'm at. I give her kind of a general area where I'm at. Most of the time she doesn't even know where I'm at. But, you know, I'll send her a picture, you know, I'm here. And she'll take that, well, where is here? You know, I'm surrounded. But I like doing that, just me and God, away from all the busyness, away from all the distractions, and just me and God spend time in prayer. Jesus realized that prayer was a place of was a thing of restoration and fellowship with his Father. And we ought to be the same way, to realize that prayer is a place of restoration and fellowship with our Father. And we cannot do anything without prayer. Jesus knew prayer was what he needed, what he desired, and we need to feel the same way. You know, we're starting this week of prayer and fasting. It's so needed in this day and age. Churches hardly ever fast anymore. People hardly ever fast anymore. But it's so needed. Let me tell you something. When you pray and when you get serious with God, the devil knows it. And he'll try to discourage you any way you can. You look, read this passage, and Jesus is praying, and everybody starts looking for Jesus. You know, where is Jesus at? Where did he go? You know, they wake up. And all of a sudden, Jesus isn't there. Where is he? Where did he go? And they start looking for him. And Simon comes to Jesus, finds him, comes to Jesus. Where you been at? Everybody's looking for you. You know, a lot of times the devil will try to distract us any way he can. from getting on our knees and praying. Why? Because he knows prayer is a powerful weapon against him. When God's people start praying, the devil knows that God will hear them, that God will listen. When you get on your knees and pray, the devil knows God's going to start moving and doing something in your life and in the life of your church. God will start doing something. But when the devil distracts us and he keeps us from getting on our knees, the devil got you right where he wants you, because he knows you're ineffective. You cannot be an effective Christian if you're not willing to pray and spend time with God. And the devil will keep you doing it, because if he can keep you from praying and keep you distracted, he's got you defeated. He's got you right where he wants you. And I want to tell you this, your spiritual life will never grow any further than what your prayer life is. And your prayer life won't grow any further than what you're willing to confess. And keep that in mind. You want to be an effective Christian? You want to grow in God's grace? You want to get closer to God and spend time in prayer, talking to him, praying to him, confessing to him, trusting him? So we need prayer. We need prayer. You know, we got all kind of ministries going on around here. We're getting ready to open up doors for some more. And probably the next couple of years, we're going to open up doors for some more ministries. You know, and that's great. We all have these ministries. But more importantly, we can't run these ministries without prayer. Yeah, it takes money. Yeah, we have fundraisers, and sometimes we bled, we beg and plead, and you know, with people. And sometimes, you know, Pastor Jimmy, Pastor TB, and Pastor and myself, you know, we sweat it out sometimes, wondering where the money's going to come from. But God always provides. But more than that, we need prayer. And that's why we have this week of fasting, this week of prayer. Because we know that God's going to hear. God's going to provide. Because that's the key to provision, is prayer. That's the key to living a successful Christian life, is prayer. That's the key to healing, is prayer. That's the key of getting closer with God, is prayer. That's the key to wisdom, is prayer. Prayer. Anything on a spiritual matter, the magic key is prayer. And we need to spend time in prayer. So one of the things that advances the kingdom of God is prayer. Second thing that advances the kingdom of God is preaching. Look at what Jesus says here. You know, a lot of times, you know, Jesus would always say or do the unexpected. You ever notice that when you read the Gospels? He would always do something that, you know, the opposite of what we would expect or what the disciples would expect. But that's Jesus. He always does the unexpected. Keeps us on our toes. But notice what he says here. You know, Simon comes up to him and said, "Everybody's looking for you." You know, and we would probably think, and Simon was probably thinking too, Jesus would jump up real quick and say, well, let me go back into town. Let's, you know, do some more healing here and stuff and spend a little bit more time here. But look what Jesus says here in verse 38. He says, "Let us go on to the next town that I may preach there also. For that is why I came out." And he went out throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. Jesus came to preach. He came to spread a message of salvation, a message of love, a message of hope. That's why Jesus came. He came to die for our sins, but also he came to bring a message. You know, he did not return to the village he just come from. He said, let's go on to the next one. You know, Jesus, you know, he said, let's move on. Jesus knew why he came. Jesus came to preach, to proclaim the gospel of salvation. That's why Jesus came. And he went throughout all Galilee, all throughout that region. He even went into an area that nobody else would want to go into, Samaria, to preach the gospel. Whole town ended up getting saved. Town of Sychar. Sychar means dead end. They had a dead end woman in a dead end town. And Jesus turned that whole town around. But Jesus came to deliver a message. A message of hope, a message of forgiveness. And we need that today. And that message is both by Jesus and about Jesus. Jesus is the gospel, period. He is. He's the gospel. And if we're to advance God's kingdom too, we need preachers. And what do I mean by preachers? So we already got three preachers here. Why do we need more? But you know, in the Bible, sometimes that word preach or preacher is a Greek word that literally means someone who proclaims. We're all called to proclaim the gospel. And if we're to advance in the kingdom, we need to proclaim the gospel to all those around us, to all those here in Huntington. We need to proclaim the gospel. You know, it's great to hear missionaries like Dan and Brittany and the work that they are doing in the Philippines. And God called them to a great work and to proclaim the gospel there in the Philippines. And it's good to support those who are willing to go overseas like that and proclaim the gospel. But we got a job to do right here in our hometown and in our state to proclaim the gospel. God called us here. You know, when God saved you, he didn't save you to sit on the sideline. He didn't save you to sit and to keep a pew warm. God saved you to proclaim the gospel, to bring others to him. So we need those that will proclaim the gospel and not be ashamed of doing it. For it's the power unto salvation, like Paul says in Romans. You know, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power unto salvation. And it is. And the devil can't do anything about it. Lastly, we look here, God's kingdom advances through cleansing. We end this story, this passage here, with this leper in verse 40 and 41. As Jesus is going, a leper comes up to him, pleads with him, begs him, implores him, kneeling down at his feet and cries out to Jesus, says, if you will, you can make me clean. You know, he might have tried everything in the world to clear his leprosy. Back in those days, leprosy was a death sentence, pretty much. It's like you going to the doctor today and the doctor tells you you got cancer and it's incurable and inoperable. There's no hope for you. That's what leprosy was like back in those days. It was a bacterial infection that affected your nerve endings to where you lost your feeling in your extremities. And if you got injured or cut or whatever, you wouldn't be able to feel it and it would get infected because your nerve endings, you couldn't provide proper nutrients to your fingers or your toes or noses or whatever. And pretty soon those things would just start rotting off. And you would see a leper and he might have part of his nose missing or fingers missing, toes missing. Leprosy would cause blindness. It's a very devastating disease. They have one leprosy colony here in the United States, the continental United States. It's down in Carville, Louisiana. In fact, it's on the National Historic Register. They still have patients there today. You can go take a tour of it if you want to. Interesting place. But you go there, you see patients there without fingers, toes, nose missing, ears missing, some of them blind. Some of them been there since almost all their lives living there because of that dreaded disease. And this guy comes to Jesus, and he kneels down right in front of Jesus, even so close. And, you know, back in those days, lepers, they had certain laws for leprosy and for lepers. Lepers had, when they went down the street, they had to shout, unclean, 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 and they had to stay so many feet away from people. They couldn't come near them. And people would not even dare touch a leper or go near a leper because they would think they would catch that disease. But here this guy comes, and Jesus lets him approach him freely. He comes and he kneels down right in front of him. He says, "You can make me clean. Make me clean." And Jesus says the most wonderful thing, shows the compassion of Jesus. He says, "I will." And not only does he say, "I will," but he goes against the law, goes against anybody's, you know, right thinking back in those days. He reaches out and he touches the leper. He touches him. And the man is healed. His leprosy leaves him. To advance the kingdom of God, it takes cleansing. So what do you mean by that? Leprosy in the Bible is always a picture of sin. Always a picture of sin. And for us to advance the kingdom of God, we need to be cleansed. Whether you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you're living in sin. You have a sin problem. You have a death sentence on your life. So what are you talking about? I got a death sentence on my life. If you're here today and you're without Christ and you die, you got an eternity in hell to look forward to. That's what I mean by a death sentence. But you can find life in Jesus Christ if you just come to Him. He'll cleanse you. He'll make you whole once again, like He did this leper. And also, too, if you're here today and you are a Christian, you've invited Christ in your life, but you got sin in your life. You got hidden sin in your life, or any kind of sin or unforgiving sin in your life. You need cleansing. That's what fasting is all about, is going to God and letting Him cleanse you. It's letting the Holy Spirit work on your life when you fast. But we need cleansing. When we got sin in the church, when we got sin in our lives as a Christian, God's not going to bless until we get cleansed, until we get right with God. And another thing about this leper, I'm just going to camp out here just for a few moments. You see the passion on Jesus. He says he was moved with pity and stretched out his hand and touched this deplorable creature of humanity. And I don't know how advanced this man's leprosy was. The Bible doesn't go into that. But it doesn't make any difference whether it was in its beginning stages or he was in such a deplorable state that nobody could look on him. But Jesus reached out and had pity on him and touched him. We can't advance the kingdom unless we are like Jesus and has pity on those out there. Even those that maybe smell bad, even though they may not have the best clothes, even though they may have a deplorable lifestyle than us, we still need to have pity with them and go out and touch them with the gospel and bring the gospel to them and meet their needs, whatever they are. We have so many churches today that snub their noses up at certain kinds of people, and that shouldn't be. We should be like Jesus and have pity on everybody around us. Doesn't make any difference whether what color race they are, what color skin they have, whether they're rich or poor, whether they're well or not well. I remember one time I was making a hospital visit, and it was a church member from one of my former churches that I was part of. And in the room right next to him, there was a family that was gathered together. They had a son in that room, dying of AIDS. And as I was praying with the church member, I heard them talking, some of them talking out in the hallway. I said, "Would you like for me to go in and pray?" And I'll never forget what one of the family members told us. He says, "We've been hoping for a pastor, somebody to come in and pray, but because my son is a homosexual, none of the pastors would want to come pray with my son." And I walked in that hotel, in that hospital room. I grabbed his hand, and I held his hand. And I prayed with him. That shouldn't be. That shouldn't be. You've heard me tell this story too, that, Beth and I, worked with a lot of kids at my former church, and we had a lot of them coming on Sunday nights. And I remember I was at a Gideon banquet, and one of the pastors told me, and if I said the name of the church, you would know the church and the pastor, but he doesn't pastor here in Huntington anymore. He moved on. But I remember him talking to me, and he was asking me about our children's program. And we took in kids from all this area here. I mean, some of them come to church dirty. I don't know when the last time they took a bath. Some of them come to church hungry. Some of them come to church, their hair all frizzed out and don't know when it's been combed or whatever. And some of them come to church in almost rags. But we took them in. We loved them. But I remember that pastor telling me, he asked me, he says, how come y'all are so successful in doing that? I said, "We tried it. We didn't like it." And they had two or three church vans there, and they'd run the church vans. So we finally ended up selling our church vans because we decided those kids just wasn't worth it. That shouldn't be. That shouldn't be. We need to have pity on those around us. Share the gospel with them. Doesn't make any difference who they are. They need the gospel. They need the gospel. They need to get saved more than anything. So in order to advance the kingdom, number one, we got to pray. Pray like we never prayed before. When you pray, that's when God moves. That's when God does things. That's when it gets exciting, when we pray. Then we need to proclaim the gospel. And lastly, we need cleansing. Cleansing from our sins. And then we need to have pity. We need to have compassion on the lost. And share the gospel with those. That's what we need. We talk about growing the church, and sometimes we talk about numbers. Really, numbers don't mean anything. We can have this church packed out with people, But if we're not praying, if we're not proclaiming the gospel, if we're not cleansing ourselves, if we don't have compassion on the lost, what good are we doing? But I saw God before many times take a small group of people that came together, that prayed together, that proclaimed the gospel together, that confessed their sins together, and had compassion on other people. I see them do mighty things through God and through God's hand, because they are willing to do that. Question is, are you willing to do that? Are you willing to do these things to start the new year out right? Say, I'm going to do these things. I'm going to pray. I'm going to proclaim. I'm going to confess. And I'm going to have compassion on those around me. Will you do that? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you and we think about these things, that we need to advance the kingdom. And yes, some of them may be seen like hard tasks to do, but we know through the power of your Holy Spirit we can do them. We know through the power of your Holy Spirit that we can pray. Sometimes even if we don't know what to pray or how to pray, your Holy Spirit teaches us and prays for us. And when we need to proclaim, sometimes it's a scary thing and a hard thing to do, but through the power of your Holy Spirit enabling us, we can be bold and speak the truth of Christ to those around us. And sometimes we need cleansing in our lives, and that's when the Holy Spirit searches us and deep within our hearts in the moments when we're in prayer and in Bible study. That if there's anything wicked in our lives or sinful in our lives, that we can ask forgiveness of it. And you will forgive, as you promised in 1 John. And Heavenly Father, we need compassion. Oh, we need compassion on those around us, those that are lost. They so need the gospel, dear Father, and let us see that. Open our eyes, open our hearts, that we may share the gospel with those around us, to meet their needs, to love them as no one else can love them. Let us love them like you love them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to have a moment of invitation.